drink some more. I want to get drunk off my ass.
Hey, what's up? This is Zed.
What up? I'm Afrojack.
Hey, guys. This is Vici.
Hey, it's Calvin Harris.
Hey, this is Borges.
Hey, I'm Dimitri Vegas.
And I'm like Mike.
Ready? One, two, three.
What's up? This is Stevie Aoki, and this is
the Beats and Booze Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Beats and Booze. As always, I'm DJ Spiro, joined by DJ Jeramos.
What's up?
And Flips.
Hi.
Okay, that was better than your previous weeks.
I don't know.
You know the best part is I actually think of what to say during the week, and I can never remember when we finally sit down and record.
You think of what to say more than hey?
Yeah, exactly.
What else could
like
you say?
Like just funny, random, dumb shit to say.
Like this right now?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
I can never think of anything.
Well, you nailed it just now, yeah. so we're all right.
Maybe off the cuff next time is your job.
All right, let's jump into it. How was KT Euphoria?
It was a good concert.
Yeah?
We had a good time.
It was probably one of the best.
Who's your favorite artist?
The best one in a couple of years, I think.
Yeah.
Well, Craig David performed, so
okay, well, besides Craig David, who was your favorite performance?
The Backstreet Boys kind of ripped it for being old dudes.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Were they, like, fully, like, choreographed and shit? Like, the whole nine?
Yeah, they were good. They had some hot dancers with them, too.
Solid.
Smoking hot dancers.
Solid. Always a plus.
Miley Cyrus was good. She didn't really kick off the show, but
she
kind of did.
Was she playing her new stuff?
She played Malibu.
Yeah, she played three songs. I think one of the new songs and two old things.
Gotcha.
And then she had to, like, jump on a plane and go to London for the Ariana Grande thing.
Right.
Manchester.
Yeah. Right.
Starley was good. Deo fucking killed it.
I didn't see Deo.
Deo killed it. Definitely wanted to see her, so I saw her perform.
Nice.
I've seen her a few times.
Who else? Who else performed?
Shaggy, who I didn't watch.
Shaggy was good. He brought out Omi.
Did he?
Did Chile.
Oh, that's right. I heard that. I saw that.
Jason Derulo killed it. He brought out Ty Dolla $ign.
Yeah, okay. Which was cool.
That was cool.
Ty was cool.
I mean, it was a good concert. I mean, of course, you know,
us fucking
doing,
banged up.
Fucking backstage.
How was the house?
Tell us
about the fun stuff.
The house was awesome, actually.
Yeah. So these guys got an Airbnb close by because it's all the way to Jones Beach.
It was a bunch of us. It was just, it's such a pain in the ass to drive there on the day of the
show.
That's
a nightmare.
So we all drove there the Friday.
I feel like we didn't rage that much, though.
No, we didn't.
I mean, I didn't because I
saw a lot of breakfast going on.
Yeah. We had a collective.
I almost beat eggs for like an hour.
Yeah.
So that was
delicious.
Fun.
I don't know. I got hammered at like KT4, but then like, because you're in the sun, it goes away pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So it was good. I just kept, it was like
the day drink's tough to keep up.
Yeah. It was a sweet open bar.
Yeah.
Oh, the best was some guy selling bootleg KT Euphoria t-shirts.
Yes.
In the parking lot.
Hold on. Raph brought t-shirts.
Right.
Okay. Just to throw out to the crowd and stuff. And then he went into the parking lot, gave some t-shirts to a bunch of people, and.
So then now we're like in the parking lot recording like voice things for the station, and also some guy comes up trying to sell bootleg KT Euphoria shirts, and he's wearing a fucking Raphael Valentino t-shirt while selling bootleg KT Euphoria shirts.
Oh,
definitely
my God.
Probably the best part of the night.
Were you guys like, what the fuck?
I was like, this is amazing.
Flip it out. Yeah. It was so great.
It was so good.
How much were the t-shirts? What was he selling for?
I think he was selling like 30
KT
bucks.
KT t-shirts for 30 bucks.
Yeah.
And we asked him how much the Raph one. He was like, nah, it's priceless. Like, he can't sell it.
That's funny.
So good times. Didn't you go down the shore?
Yeah, just typical shore day. It was nice on Saturday. Stopped by the DMP house. There's been a lot of talks. We got a house further away. They got a house further away than the right behind DJs this year. So.
Yeah, Legati's been very depressed.
Yeah, it's been a whole thing.
Thing.
It's been a whole thing.
It's not even that bad.
No, it's not bad, but it's just the fact that the kids who moved in to 103 think they're the shit now.
Oh, really?
And Legati's like, fuck these guys. Like, they're literally like the biggest tool bags. Like, they have weights on their lawn. Like, there's a bench press in their front lawn.
That's amazing.
Like, you're a tool bag. So, yeah.
Yeah, Legati really, really wants that house back.
It's been a whole thing.
Or
yeah.
He wants us to, like, figure out a way with DJs to where we can get a house for free and, like, us bring artists and stuff.
Yeah. But we talked about that. They were like, we've seen your house. Yeah. What artists is going to want to go sleep there? But we're working on it.
The house that they have now is so much nicer.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
There's a backyard.
The porch in the front is ginormous.
It really is.
It's a perfect situation.
We were razor scootering around the front porch.
For a podcast. But we do have some exciting news to share. This Beachcast, the first one we're going to do next week. First of all, Dramos makes his DJ's debut.
Yeah. Yep.
Opening for Max Vangeli. And at 6 p.m. that day, we're doing a podcast.
Saturday, the 17th.
June 17th.
We're doing a live podcast on the porch at DJ's.
It's going to be a good time.
Cannot wait.
Yeah.
So
21-year-old Chris is so excited for this.
We're going to have hopefully a couple of DMP hats to give away.
Yep.
You know,
we're gonna do some stickers, some contests. I got a couple ideas.
I think apparently they might be doing a meet and greet for Max Vangeli.
Sweet.
Yeah, that'd be cool. It's gonna be a good time. I'm excited. I'm excited to play.
Come take a picture with us. You know.
Oh, yeah, or without 17 us. Fucking Stepping Repeats.
Yeah. Either way, whatever way works, just don't forget to tag us. You know. Yeah.
I don't think we mentioned we have Cosmic Gate on the show today.
Yeah, yes, that's right. They'll be in the studio with us later.
Yeah, yeah. So let's why don't we get some music for them?
Well, they'll be coming up after this. Here's Cosmic Gate and Ferry Corsten with Dynamic on Beats and Booze.
And we have the guys here in studio. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Of course. Gosh, I mean, I like having guys like you in here because I feel like I'm going to learn something today.
Yeah. see about that. Yeah. I want to learn something. Yeah.
Maybe we'll all learn something from each other. But you guys have been doing this, since 99, I think, right? As a group together?
Yeah. According to the Wikipedia. That's
according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, we produced the first track in 98 and released it beginning of 99.
So next year it's 20 years.
Scary as hell. Yeah.
That is insane. So, I mean, what my I guess the most obvious question is, what's the biggest change, let's say, to present day, you know, 20 years later almost, than when it was when you guys were actually starting out?
Well, from the recording side, of course, everything was analog back then. These days, everything is digital. We're basically just having our laptop that we produce on.
We had a big studio. studio, and now we can actually produce an hour seed on a plane.
Right, yeah, exactly.
The, or at the
on
pool.
A dining table.
Yeah, at the, yeah, at the
in
pool.
A bar.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Strip club, yeah. Yeah. It's wherever you want it to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then, well, the other big change, of course, is like the marketing of artists. Like back then it was the record companies, and now so many artists work independent because social media, we just all press one button and there's like hopefully millions of followers behind it. So that whole social media changed the way of marketing so much.
Right.
It's also a different world.
Yeah, also for playing, of course, because as he said, it's a similar thing. When we release a track, no matter where we play that week in the world, the fans or like people probably going to have heard that song.
Right, right.
And back then it was like, no, it's going to be released in the States in 6 months. Or you know, like that's how it was like 20 years ago.
The vinyl took like months.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, things like that. Yeah. So yeah, it was a different world, but a different kind of living vibe.
Yeah.
But still it's great. Still the music for us, the music is what we focus
on.
Of
course,
which is most important to us. So we still love what we do, and we just appreciate that we are one of these guys coming from the basement, DJ mixing at home, that made it out and fly around the world and play shows. It's just fantastic.
We are one of those that can say we recorded tapes back then.
Right.
No, I'm not kidding.
Can you make me a tape?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you heard Descendants, guys?
Of course.
I feel like it's a little kid. I used to record
from the radio all the time.
Right. I think we're just old enough to remember doing that. Exactly. I mean, but it's crazy. I mean, for you guys, then back then was like, now a kid, you know, can see like their favorite DJ and be like, oh, I want to do that, you know, that's like a career option, you know what I mean? With you guys, when you first started, what were your expectations of it? Because that wasn't probably a thing that you can get paid and make a career for 20 years traveling the world.
It's
DJing
it's exactly as you said. We just did it because we love music so much. There was no expectations. I was so happy playing in my little town with a few hundred people every week. I didn't even care how much money I get. It was like, was completely secondary.
Yeah.
It was just because.
So basically, girls were his main focus.
Yeah, exactly.
Not even.
Honestly, when I started DJing, like private parties, first paid gigs, like my friends were like, why you do this? Why ain't you here by the bar with us and chase the girls? And I'm like, I do it because I love it.
It's a lot easier to get girls when you're DJing. So.
Well, probably back then, though, it was mostly guys.
Back then,
I
don't know.
It's probably sweaty dudes. You know what I mean?
And also, like, now, like, everyone is facing the DJ.
Exactly.
It wasn't like that.
Yeah.
It was like,
you were probably hidden back. Back in the day, you were hidden. Absolutely. Nobody knew who the hell the DJ
in
was.
In the darkest corner, that's where the DJ was.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is amazing. God, it's so crazy to think how much that's all changed. Yeah. But what was it like then in Germany for you guys growing up, like, music? What were you guys listening to? What really kind of, like, hooked you on this music?
We have a very wide kind of spectrum of music that we like. So this started all, like, say, even with early hip hop, like that Rapper's Delight whatsoever, then first electronic influences came. So mid-80s it was house, turned into acid house, got into tech house, first trance records came. Nick, you have a big influence from your family.
It's similar as you said. I have for my family, they love classical music and jazz and stuff. Then it was the same. It was Chicago house and all that. As he said, acid came.
Right.
And then trance. Was it IQ even, like Sven Fate back then? He's kind of started it even like there.
Yeah, so that was the time you went to the record store and every week there were like new sounds and new styles and it was just it was an earthquake that went over for years. Yeah. It was like the Benelux, the Dutch sound, the Belgium sound, the German sound, all the rave stuff coming from the UK. You guys had some good stuff here in the US. So.
And it's not that everyone could have it. They were like, they had three vinyls. And
exactly.
Like,
that's right. I can't wrap my brain around that now as a DJ. For me, I mean, I grew up in the age of laptops when I started DJing, you know, for the most part. So I can't wrap my brain around like going and you know, only one person has a certain vinyl, you're that guy. That's crazy to me.
You have that hidden stack of vinyl.
Yeah, which made you special.
Exactly,
You were the only guy that could play that track in your city.
Yeah.
So it was a big difference. And now it's like .mp3.
Yeah. Exactly. It's crazy. So do you feel back then it was easier to make a splash as a DJ, like make a name for yourself, than it is today, or vice versa? Obviously, like you said, you're the only person playing certain records, then you can make a name for yourself in that way. But today we have the social media, as we said too. It's kind of a little bit of both almost.
It's an interesting question.
It's a very interesting question. you know, there's a lot of music out that we think it's questionable because there's simply zero.
Yeah, that's putting it politely.
There's zero promotional cost to release a track, right? Yeah. So there is
basically
no
A&R.
No more A&Ring to be the filter. So there's a lot of stuff out, and well, you said it. It's so cool to be a DJ for many years now.
Yeah.
And so help me. How can I get a DJ? Is a question we hear so often, and we're just like, hey, you need to have the love and the passion, be in it for the right reasons.
Right.
And then when you put in a lot of work on top and you're very lucky to be at the right time, the right moment, then you maybe make it. But I think there's a lot of talents that don't make it.
Of course.
Yeah, but I think it's actually similar, just like nowadays, because of the social media and everything. If you make it, you make it like way further. Like,
Of course.
You can make it faster.
Yeah, faster.
Of course. Do you guys remember your first like big gig that you guys were like flown out to somewhere for? Does that anything that resonates in your mind?
I mean, the biggest that
right when you maybe started
internationally was probably Trans Energy in Holland. But we were playing at that time already for years.
Yeah, the funny thing is we had our residence clubs like 30, 40 miles from each other.
Right.
And on our off days, we were just going visiting and DJing together. And the funny thing is, because of that fact, we do not even remember our first Cosmic gig together.
Because we were playing anyway,
four times a week. Yeah, so
that's amazing.
Yeah,
I guess so. That's how you guys kind of got together. You both were just DJing. You kind of met one another.
They're mutual friends. Yeah,
mutual friends, and suddenly you're in the studio together, and the other guys leave, and we just make a jam session. Forget about that track. Two months later, we're like, dude, I heard this track again. I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. Okay, we send it to record companies and we're signed. And
on the way
how
home,
should we how should we call this project?
Right.
It was just another project.
Exactly.
And okay, it has this bleepy
Cosmic
kind
Gate.
Of
song. Whatever.
Let's not call it Stargate. Call it Cosmic Gate. And and 2 months later, this track is like storming. Yeah. We had no clue.
Right. It's so funny how natural that just seems like everything kind of fell together. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because now, like, there's very much so like a plan you can kind of follow as an aspiring producer, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can watch your tutorials, get good at what you're doing, and then you can send them out to via email to different labels, and maybe somebody will catch it, puts you on, and then there's a little. But you guys, it's just kind of like you're almost punching in the dark, just kind of, you know what I mean, like throwing this out there, seeing what happens, and next thing you know, it all pans out that way.
That is so true.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. So for you guys, obviously, you've toured all over the world. Any sort of tour stories that stick out in your mind? Well, I want to hear like the sketchy ones.
Yeah, any screw-ups, like major screw-ups at like a festival or anything?
Yeah.
No, only in our dreams.
Yeah.
we still have the DJ dreams.
Yeah. the DJ dream when a needle comes to an
end. Yeah, exactly.
fuck, I don't know the next track. I'm sorry for that. I don't know what to play now. And then the music, no more music.
No more music, right.
but things like that. I remember a show. Well, it wasn't like a big festival. But a club show, you have like 1,000 people, and the whole pair, boom, it cracks, and then you just have the monitors left, and we turned them to the dance floor, cranked them up, and we kept playing.
Right.
People
cool.
somehow loved it, and when the main system came back, like, whoa, this is the moment. Then you have to stay focused and professional and try to make the best out of it.
That's all you really could do. That's what's funny about being a DJ as opposed, because I grew up playing in bands before being a DJ. So as a band, like maybe one person's thing goes wrong, but you still have the rest of the band to kind of carry what's happening. As a DJ, there's like laptops now involved or like electronics that can just get fucked up. They can crash, do whatever they do.
You're the guy that fucks up.
Yeah,
no matter if his lights go off, you're the guy. It's your fault.
You're the asshole. No matter what happens, like no matter if like the sound engineer fell asleep, the guy running the board, threw the knobs down, it's still your fault.
That's what we're really good, and if things go really, really bad and we fucked it up, then we look mad at
yeah, exactly. Yes, I just start like playing with invisible wires for no reason. Like, one of these finicky wires again.
What did the damn bossy do?
Yeah, exactly.
It's me. I didn't touch that button.
So when you guys, now, I mean, obviously you've played together for so long, but when you're playing live, are there any times where one of you puts on a record and you just kind of look at the other one like, why the hell are you playing this song? Like,
we all pushed the wrong button.
Who's answering first now?
course, we all play a track that we weren't planning to play, but hopefully it somehow fits. That we just smile at her.
I'm going to fix this.
Yeah, exactly. Because we always ask duos that, or like the Nervo twins are talking about, how they're like, they're fighting up there.
They always stay poke each other all the time.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? You know?
This is actually one of our, I don't know why that is, but we really have the same idea about Cosmic Gate.
Yeah.
And we never, of course we discuss the track.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's never like, what?
Yeah.
No, it's
like, it's like, never like one of us loves it and the other one is like, that's crap.
It's
like our understanding for music is that chemistry we have about it is very unique, which keeps us running for 20 years.
So it has.
You got to be doing something right.
Exactly. I mean, and what's interesting, you guys come from like the trance background. Is that safe to say a lot of your music originally you're putting out? Trance. I mean, so that's a very, like, we were talking to Armin about that, and they're a very dedicated following. And for you guys, I mean, you've definitely started to progress your sound and change and do different things. Is that ever a concern that when you have a crowd like that who is, you know, latching on to what you guys are doing and supporting you, that now you're starting to experiment with different things, especially one as passionate as that? Do you ever take that in consideration? Is that something you're a little bit nervous about?
No, of course we have that in mind, but it's actually something we try to not make us affect in the studio. We just want to do what we love. Of course, it's gonna be trancy, but I think because we love it and we still like. I mean, if you listen to our songs, they have evolved a lot.
Of course,
with the same. We think with the same vibe, though.
Right.
This is all we try to keep the same vibe.
Of course,
but
of course.
We want to be free to do whatever we like. And also in our DJ sets, we play a pretty wide range, I would say, compared to the normal, like the usual trance.
Exactly. It's so, just interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's a very purist genre. Like, those fans are just so passionate
they live that.
Exactly.
Not just coming out to consume it.
Exactly. So that's why I think if I was put myself in position, I'd be scared to deviate from that, because I'd be scared of losing those guys, you know?
I mean, that's true. And we are actually dealing with that. When we sometimes do a track that is not maybe full on trance, or some people expect it.
Yeah.
You should see some social.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, let us do our thing.
Exactly.
And we, you know, this is called artistic freedom.
Right.
And if you don't like this track, maybe you hopefully gonna like the other one again.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't want to do a job and do the same over and over for 20 years.
Right.
It's natural for us to evolve and to add something new to every next single, next remix, which after 2 years then to the next album leads to a little bit of a new step. An artist has to push the boundaries further. Otherwise, if you stand still, for us, it's a step back. So music needs new input. It has to be mixed with different things to stay fresh and to stay relevant. Mm-hmm. And we always have our eyes and ears everywhere. We love music from different genres, and we bring it into our productions.
Right, that's awesome. I mean, that's the way you have to be.
I feel like a lot of people now are doing that too. Yeah. They're evolving, changing their sound.
I think you have to, you know, especially with how much this whole thing has grown. I mean, you're able to do a lot more now. Yeah. You know, or it's a lot more accepted to take different things from different genres and mix it all together. You know,
I hate that pigeonholing anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Genre. It's like,
don't let a genre stop you.
Exactly.
It's like, if we're considered trance, if we do something that's a little bit different,
right?
Hey, so what?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you should be happy about
it. Yeah, the only that sucks now is as opposed to 20 years ago is now you have the comments from everybody.
Yeah, there's enough guys at using the same sound sets for so long.
You can definitely go check those guys out instead if that's what you want to keep hearing over and over.
But you can always block them.
That's such a good idea. When we get that, I send them links.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's our old stuff. If that's all you want to hear, keep listening to the same record. Then I love that. Well, listen, we're gonna get into your song with Tim White, "The Deep End." You want to tell us a little bit about this track, maybe how that whole collab kind of came together?
Well, collabs work the one or the other way. The first is like we write a demo and the vocal gets written on, or we get a vocal and then we write the music and now it's your turn.
In this case, Tim White actually sent us that vocal. I think there was actually no music at all underneath. And then, we wrote the music from scratch.
Wow.
And we loved his voice. He has such a strong, like at the same time soothing, I don't know, I really love his voice.
Good songwriting, and it's just one of these songs. It's not typical trance, not a typical trance vocal, but somehow together with the music it's very touching. And on the dance floor, it's like we played it, we knew people have never heard it before,
right?
And it was one of the tracks of the night. And right. we were like, wow, this is just amazing how sometimes a track just
works.
Yeah,
works.
It invokes something in people,
You didn't expect it, really. Right. This is one of these unexpected kind of tunes right. that just, make a smile.
What do you got, when you're about to drop a new record, like when you're in your live set and you're getting ready to like mix in that new record, is there like a bit of nervousness that comes over you?
It will be
always.
You're always a little bit
the
like
the moment you're like too cool or right. you're like no this and then is
judgment is easy like if right. they don't understand it yeah. they have no idea
of course yeah.
if they love it see I
yeah
told
yeah
you.
Exactly I told you.
Also too, before we go into the song, we ask a lot of DJs that come up to when you finish a track, where do you guys test the music? Do you play like on your laptop, in your car? I like the car test.
Yeah.
Car
to be test on a tape in a car.
Not tape. No, it was CD by then. Yeah. No, but yeah, actually, that's what we did. I remember us driving around.
Oh my God. Yeah. We always had to leave the neighborhood because we had these big car systems. We were basically driving into a forest to not like, get killed by neighbors. And we were like just...
Unfortunately, we don't do that anymore.
No. You move past that phase. No,
simply, we take Uber, we don't have a car.
do you have a USB cord?
Yeah, exactly. That's it these days. It's all switched over to that. Well, let's get into it. This is your track with Tim White, The Deep End, on Beats and Blues.
Walls made of stone that chill our bones. So how they block the sun.
Feel it. Get your blood pumping. Let's get excited.
Woo! Hey, what's up? This is Mim.
I'm Liv.
We're Nervo, and make sure you follow the show on Twitter and Instagram @BeatsAndBoots.
All right, that was Cosmic Gate and Tim White with The Deep End. Now it's that time of the show.
I know the question that's coming.
Yeah. It's that time where our previous guest leaves a question for our current guest. Our last guest was Clean Bandit and Anne-Marie.
Yep.
So Anne-Marie specifically left this question. Her question was, how many times a day do you guys poop?
Depends. Depends if our friends from above and beyond once said it's a good day and a good two or three.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's healthy. That's a lot. You should probably get that checked out.
No, I'm about the same.
Yeah, but so, you're not healthy either.
True.
That's not a good comforting thing. I love that. Well, listen, Ty, so now you leave a question for our next guest. They're going to be a DJ producer. We don't know exactly who it is yet, but anything you want to leave on the spectrum. Could be about production, could be anything, could be funny.
So our question is, we do this job so long, and one thing seems not to get better, which is jet lag. Is there any cure, any help that you would have, and we highly appreciate?
That is not booze.
That is not booze, yeah. Have you guys had anything that you think helps you at all with jet lag?
No.
Cutting
sleep, then I still wake up only 20 minutes later, so it's not 3:30, it's 3:50 at night.
Yeah.
It does not make a difference.
So no, especially sleep, you're traveling different time zones.
Sleep whenever
so
you can, yeah. I'm a napper anyway, so I wake up early no matter what, and then I nap, and then I get my hours together somehow, but
It's rough. I'm a big napper as well. That's the only way that I get to catch up on sleep, I think.
I'm going to take a nap after this.
Right? There you go. It's good. That's good advice. Well, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. It's been awesome getting to meet you and talk a little bit about, just history.
Yeah.
I like it
so much.
That was super fun. Thank you so much.
Of course. Plug your socials. Where are you guys most active? Where can people find out more about Cosmic Gate?
I would say it's pretty simple. Just go to our website.
Right.
It's kind of old school, cosmic-gate.de, because you find all the links there. Whatever you want to check out, Instagram, Twitter, you're going to find it there.
I like it. Websites are coming back, I feel like.
Now, are you guys big on the Instagram stories?
Watching it,
right? Yeah, exactly. I think it's more fun to watch than it is to actually participate.
Any crazy Instagram stuff sent to you guys?
Or Snapchat.
Or snaps?
If you're on there.
I mean, you know what they...
Yeah.
I think that goes without saying.
Pretty much, yeah.
We know what that was, what that meant. Guys, thanks again. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Of course. You can catch me at DJ Dramos Flips.
At Radio Flipped, and you can follow us at Beats and Booze.
Yes, and make sure you guys subscribe on iTunes. Check us out on the iHeartRadio app. Till next time, peace.
Sweet little wonders, I've got a Hennessy in my hands.
The Beats and Booze Podcast.